This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Sure do need them. We need strategies. Because we're living, so we need some strategies for living. Are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
Yeah?
Yeah. And you know what?
What?
I'm okay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm okay, so I'm okay. You're okay.
All right.
Hey, I like that. Hey, folks, welcome. Hope you're okay today, and thank you for joining us here on Strategies for Living on 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. And we've already established that, you know, she's okay and I'm okay. What about you? You know, who's okay? Me or you?
Hopefully both.
I hope so. You know, I've been thinking lately about, I don't know if you either read or studied in your graduate degree anything about transactional analysis, and there were several books that came out in the 60s.
Right.
One of them was I'm Okay, You're Okay. It was a very, very popular self-help book by Thomas Harris. Mm-hmm. Came out in 1969, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And it's based on the psychological theory, which is just a way to look at the world, right?
Right.
By Thomas Harris. And it was
Eric, it was actually Byrne, right?
Yeah, it was actually developed by Thomas Harris's mentor Eric Byrne. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I've read his book.
Oh, okay.
The Games People Play.
The Games People Play. Yeah,
and we didn't study TA in our degree at all. I actually know about it from you, and I'm glad, you know, and from my extra studies.
I have found it through the years in working with clients and couples and people in relationships. I have found it to be one of the simplest, easiest ways mm-hmm. to really draw out, show what's actually transacting. I mean, look at the title of it, transactional
right.
analysis.
It's acting beyond our awareness.
Yeah, yep. it's what is actually going on. What is actually going on in the transactions between us? And it turns out that people interact with each other through what they call three different ego states. And they're pretty simple. The parent, the adult, and the child. And these states kind of influence how we think and what we feel.
And how we behave.
And how we behave.
How we interact with each other.
So we're gonna spend a little time today with you know, I'm okay, you're okay, because we'll also talk about Born to Be Me, Born to Win, and we'll also talk about The Games People Play, which are also very popular books that came out all around the same time on TA. And there's a lot for us to be aware of and learn from our transactions today, and whether we believe I'm okay, you're okay, you're not okay, I'm not okay, who's okay? We're talking about it today here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us. Lots to learn today on Strategies. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Welcome back. Welcome back into 1017 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. I'm not okay.
I don't know that you are.
Yeah, I'm not okay.
A little concerned.
Yeah, I Lauren Leon McMillan, psychotherapist Lauren Leon McMillan. She's okay. But I'm not okay because I didn't, you know, last segment, I usually say, well, I appreciate our sponsors who make all of this possible.
Right.
On Strategies for Living. Well, it's not okay that I didn't say that.
No, it's important to be appreciative of their
I appreciate the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing.
Roof, roof.
And that gives you your chance to roof. And and then the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And I do appreciate all of our sponsors.
Absolutely. We couldn't do it without them.
No, we could not. Yeah. So we are brought to you in part by each and every one of those fine organizations. So we're talking about I'm Okay, You're Okay, popular self-help book written by psychiatrist Thomas A. Harris back in 1969. And the book talks about how people interact with each other really through three distinct ego states. And the ego states are the parent ego state, the adult ego state, and the child ego state. And, you know, the thing is, the whole reason for studying this, looking at it, is because this stuff plays out at the unconscious level of our being, of our mind.
Right.
And until we bring it into our conscious awareness, we don't really have any control over it, right?
Right.
So the parent ego state is that's our learned behavior. That's the stored in that parent ego state are all the rules, the oughts, the must, the judgments and beliefs that have been passed down to us from authority figures.
From our parents and authority figures.
Yeah. And more often than not, those rules come from our parents.
Our caregivers, whoever we're
right, but it can come
most
from
influential.
Absolutely. And so it can come from grandparents. It can come from extended family members. It can come from important teachers throughout our lives. So that's our parent ego state. Then there's the child ego state. And the child ego state represents all of the emotions and spontaneity and behavior that we learned from early childhood, right? And then there's the adult ego state. And the adult ego state, that's our rational, objective, problem-solving, kind of just the facts, responding to the here and now, okay? So when you think about those states that we can come out of, the parent, the adult, and the child, the core idea of I'm okay, you're okay, is that people often adopt unhealthy positions in their lives, life positions, that have been influenced by negative experiences back in their childhood, right?
Okay, yeah.
And Dr. Harris identifies four possible life positions, and that's where the title comes from.
Okay.
So one of the life positions is, I'm okay, you're okay. Mm. And this would be the healthy one. This would be a balanced position where I respect myself and I respect you. So,
right.
You know, whoever the you is in the that I'm interacting
whoever
with.
Whoever you're relating to at the moment.
Yeah. So I'm okay, you're okay. That's a healthy, balanced position. We respect ourselves, we respect others.
Recognizing that we each have our own ability to make decisions and to do, you know, within our own control and volition, our own autonomy.
Right.
I'm okay and you're okay. And that's okay if we're different.
Right, exactly.
It's also included in that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Then there's, I'm okay, but you're not okay.
Mm.
Okay, so this is the position that we take when we get defensive. And it's a superior.
Right.
If you think about it, we're climbing up on our high horse, right?
Right.
And this is a superior position. I'm okay, but you're not okay.
Yeah, I think this could also often easily jut into rescuer mentality or codependence, right?
Yep.
Where we say, well, I'm okay, but you're not okay. You can't take care of yourself.
And we're actually seeing this play out a lot today in, you know, politics and religion and places where people are very passionate about beliefs.
Mm.
Then, you know, we can get on our Christian high horse or Muslim high horse or Jewish high horse or Republican high horse or Democrat high horse,
right,
and take the position, well, I'm okay, but you're not okay.
Right.
You're
fill in the blank derogatory term for the beliefs that you have.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, but you're not okay. Then there's I'm not okay, but you're okay.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is a position of low self-esteem, low self-worth. It's a position of inferiority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
A position of victimhood.
Yeah. I'm not okay, but you're okay. And then last but not least, I'm not okay and you're not okay. So this is a position of hopelessness. It's a position of defeat if you stop and think about it. So the goal here, Dr. Harris's goal in I'm okay, you're okay, is to help all of us achieve and get to that ideal position of I'm okay, you're okay, where we can live, hopefully, authentic, balanced lives and communicate with each other in a healthy way. So what the book does, and it offers very practical strategies, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to improve self-awareness, my relationship with myself, and my relationship with other people by understanding and managing the interactions. And I'm doing that through those ego states.
Yeah.
My parent ego state, my adult ego state, and my child ego state. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if I don't know what's going on, it's a way to look. And the reason I really like it is you don't have to get deep into psychology or psychodynamics, if you will.
It's not complicated.
And that's what's brilliant about it.
Yeah.
It is so elegant, and I'll use that term elegant, because it's a way that non-counseling, non-psychology people can read a book and begin to use it, or even not even read the whole book, but just read a summary of the book and begin to use it in their own life in a very positive way.
Yeah, and it's also elegant in that it really is, you can see the footstones, the foundation of Freud's ego.
Absolutely.
Levels, right?
Yes.
The ego and the
superego. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a way to communicate with anyone. I mean, because no matter who you are or where you are, I think we all can easily identify within ourselves this position of, well, there is a parental part of me.
Yeah.
And there is a... And child
it's a,
part
a,
of
it's
me.
It's a way to really raise the awareness of that and keep it in the forefront of our mind. So instead of things operating as they do so often in our lives at the unconscious level, we're raising that to the conscious awareness of how we interact with ourselves and others as we interact in the world.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things that Dr. Harris wants us to do is really understand the ego states, the parent, the adult, and the child, and how we are operating. You know, the goal is to kind of consciously shift as much as possible to the adult state, which is our rational, objective, present, focused state. Because when we're in the one of the other states, either the parent or the child, we're not really operating 100% in the present. Does that make sense?
I would kind of describe it as we're not operating within our full capability.
Yeah.
Either.
Well, you're going to get much more emotional reaction from either the child state, or which can be, kind of a natural child. Which is just are an adaptive child. I mean, you can the child can be that state can be divided into a couple of
so in other things. Words, you know, that we have this natural child, the child who originally came into the world with wonder and curiosity, and certain instinctual draws to particular activities and things in their life, right?
Right.
And then we also have, as they age, as that natural child grows up with a parental role, which can also be divided, right, into different types of parents.
Yeah, you can have a critical parent, or you can have a nurturing parent.
Right.
And we all kind of know, what that feels like, right?
Yeah, pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But as the child encounters authority figures, they might then adapt and become this adapted child, which is, you know, that natural child with masks and rules placed upon them.
Absolutely.
And has shifted to accommodate their environment.
Absolutely. So one of the things that Dr. Harris wants us to do is to really kind of reevaluate our scripts. Transactional analysis talks a lot about scripts, and he talks a lot about childhood scripts. So because a lot of people just unconsciously live by what TA calls scripts. They're just the messages that we absorb during our childhood. Mm-hmm. And that often leads to the negative life positions, like I'm not okay, but you're okay.
Right.
Or I'm not okay and you're not okay.
Right. So if we had a script as a kid that, anything we did was never good enough.
Right.
Right. You can see how that easily transcribes into I'm not okay, but you're okay.
You're
because
okay.
All throughout my growing up, I had a parental figure who told me that anything I did wasn't enough, and I had to do it whatever way that they specify.
So the elegance here is that this gives us a way to look at all of that, you know, all of those messages and that are stored there, and a way to challenge and revise, bring up to date, if you will, the scripts, so individuals can move toward a healthier and more balanced life position, you know, hopefully to a place of I'm okay and you're okay.
Yeah.
And, if we're living from I'm okay and you're okay, I'm pretty balanced and I'm pretty healthy. And that's where we want to be. You know, we're talking about who's okay, me or you, or hopefully both of us. Talking about it today here on Strategies for Living. More to come. Stay right where you are. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road, plus the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com. Welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Am I okay? Are you okay? Who's okay? Yeah, it's a great little book. I'm okay, you're okay.
And we each get to make that choice and decision within our own perspective.
Yeah, and we can change it. Mm-hmm. If we don't think we're at a healthy place, we're coming from a place of I'm okay, but you're not okay, or I'm not okay, you're okay, or I'm
neither
not okay, and you're not okay.
Okay,
then I can switch to I'm okay, you're okay, if I understand the parent, the adult, and the child ego states, and I'm willing to reevaluate my childhood scripts. What did I learn? Because these scripts, once they're absorbed, then begin to kind of take hold, and that's part of what we call the subconscious or unconscious mind.
Right, and I think that's part of what plays out then over time in many, many, many interactions with others are those childhood scripts trying to be healed.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, if we were consistently, one of the scripts are, I mentioned earlier, I'm not good enough, we'll consistently seek that script out in other relationships in order to try to heal that in some way.
Absolutely.
We continue to replay them until they're brought to our awareness.
Yep.
And we decide to do something
until
about them.
We're ready to really look at it.
Yeah.
Really look at it. And the whole idea here is for effective communication. So not only effective communication with folks out there, but how many times do we say this here on Strategies? The primary relationship that any of us have is the relationship that we have with ourselves.
Yep.
So it's effective communication, first and foremost, with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being aware of which state you are currently operating from, the parent, the adult, or the child.
Because how do you improve relationships? Mm-hmm. Well, we pay attention to communication. And Dr. Harris gives us a way to do that with the ego states, the parent, the adult, and the child. Mm-hmm. Healthy communication happens when both parties are engaged from their adult states.
So one diagram that always comes out of transactional analysis, and I'll draw it up here on the radio board.
Oh, good, so we can see it.
Yeah, but I think it's very helpful to at least think about or visualize, you know, is that we have in each person, we have the parent, the adult, and the child.
And
you can imagine
that. And this is usually depicted by three circles.
Yeah. Stacked upon each other, right? And so that's you. One person has the parent, the adult, and the child.
Right.
And then the other person has a P for a parent, an A for an adult, and a C for a child stacked, right?
Right.
And interactions can happen in between any of those parts. So parent to parent, parent to adult, parent to child, and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Going down the line.
Yeah.
And the healthiest interaction, the one that we really aim towards ideally, is to have adult-adult interactions.
Right.
And I think one of the biggest issues...
So let's illustrate this real quick.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So if I'm... You and I are married.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but if I come in and I'm peeved off for whatever reason, you know, I might say to you, get over here and pick this up right now. Now, what state am I coming out
of? That's the parental.
That's the parent state. Now,
I could react from several different states.
Yeah. So how would you react from the child state?
So there are two different ways that I can think of offhand as a child.
Yep.
From the child state, I could say, I could take the very rebellious act and say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, no. You know. Or I could go and, oh, sure, I'll help you, whatever.
You know? Right.
The obedient or the disobedient child, right?
Now, that kind of interaction can go, because it's not crossed.
No.
So that kind of interaction can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Parent to child, child back to parent.
Very, 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 very often if we're not aware.
And many times, here's the deal, those types of relationships, when we get into that pattern, don't feel good.
No.
And we may not know why they don't feel good, but this is the answer. You know, this kind of reveals the answer. What we want to attempt to do is, let me shift that. Sweetheart, you left your socks on the floor in the living room. Would you please, when you get a chance, pick them up?
Yeah.
Put them in the dirty clothes.
Oh,
all right,
sure.
Now, am I coming from a parent, the adult, or the child?
That is definitely more of an adult.
Definitely from the adult. And so you've got a choice. Then, you know,
Then I still have a choice. I could still react from the child point
of
view. Or I could react from a more adult perspective.
So the transactional analysis allows us together, or me individually and you individually, to look at, okay,
and I love that,
what's happening with our interactions.
I love that example, because so often we get into relationships to heal that parent-child wound.
Yes.
That's the point of looking at those childhood scripts.
Absolutely.
And so one of the most magnificent healing opportunities we have in relationships often is to actually develop the adult role, because so many people, you know, with unhealthy or toxic, you know, childhood scripts have not had the ability or have not looked at developing the adult role within themselves.
And again, I'm going to use the term elegant. The elegant thing here is you can look at all of this and it gives you a way to shift and to change without blame. So many times we get stuck on blaming our parent units, or our grandparent units, our teacher units. And we forget, okay, well, they're human.
Right.
They got stuff passed down to them,
and
too.
And perhaps whatever it was worked for them.
Maybe.
But clearly it's not working for me.
Right. And I now can analyze it, and I can change it. And that's the whole idea with the transactional awareness. Any social transaction or interaction, it helps me to understand what's going on beneath the surface, right? Instead of, so I can get down to more of an understanding than a reacting. So am I responding from my parent, from my child, or from my adult? And by tuning into that and developing an awareness of it, then I've got freedom. I can alter my responses and my interactions to aim for healthier communication if that's what I want.
Right. And this can so beautifully, as we've illustrated, be done within relationships.
Right.
Within actual couples or interactions
with
other people.
It's a wonderful way to do couples counseling.
Oh, yeah.
It truly is. Once you understand just a little bit, just the life positions and the idea of the ego states, the parent, adult, and the child, then, you know, it gives us a whole...
It gives you a whole vocabulary, a way
absolutely.
Of speaking about it.
Yep.
But beyond working with other people, this can easily be done and recognized within yourselves.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the life positions analysis, really looking at, what life position am I living out of?
Right.
Am I
this
living
is the,
out
I'm okay,
of?
You're okay.
Positions. Yeah. Am I living something other than I'm okay, you're okay? Because if I'm living, and so many of us are living from one of those other three of the four unhealthy positions, I'm okay, but you're not okay. I'm not okay and you're okay, or I'm not okay and you're not okay. All three of those have their issues and problems. So if I can
recognize,
you know, if I can recognize,
recognize,
rethink the life position, it helps each one of us evaluate, you know, our fundamental view of ourselves and our fundamental views of others, and think about how much that then raises what's unconscious up into the consciousness where I can do something about it.
Right. It totally brings everything else up into more of your control. When you are aware of it, you can control it.
Right. I can't change what I don't acknowledge. I can't change what I don't know. But this gives you a way to figure out, okay, okay, where
what
am
is
I,
it that I don't know?
What is, yeah, where am I operating from? Because I know I want to operate from that healthy position. I'm okay and you're okay. And so when we recognize our own self-worth and the worth and value of every other individual, not more than me, but not less than me.
Right.
You know? And so that's the deal. It leads towards a more balanced, positive relationship with whoever we might be in relationship mm-hmm. with. The other thing about this, Lauren, is behavioral responsibility. And this is something that Dr. Harris really stresses in I'm Okay, You're Okay. So it's the importance of taking responsibility for our own actions,
our own behaviors,
our own emotional responses. And to do that,
because once we're aware of the parent, the adult, and the child within, we can then consciously choose from which place we respond from rather than react. And even if in those moments where we do catch ourselves, oh, I just reacted from my child state, you know, the ability to and the courage to be vulnerable and say, you know what, I did not, you know, I'm working on that, and then rephrase it from the adult role.
Right. Dr. Harris encourages us to use the adult ego state to make thoughtful rather than emotionally reactive, you know, and that would be from the child or the parent. The parent's also a repeating judgment type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So coming from an emotional reactivity or from a judgmental position, if I shift into the, you know, more into the parent, then that helps me to...
The adult, rather.
Yeah. That helps me to promote healthier relationships. I'm, you know, I'm more aware of what's going on inside of me.
So the easiest way to recognize then is, you know, if you're coming from a place of, oh, I should do this, or, you know, you would, the judgmental place.
Yeah, I gotta, I should, all of that.
That's your key, that you're in the parental role, right?
Yeah.
And if you're coming from the place of,
I don't want to do that, you can't make me do that,
right.
I'm not going to do it.
The obstinate.
Yeah.
Or on the other end, the people pleasing, right?
Yeah. I will do that. You know, I don't really feel like doing it, but I will do it.
I'll do it for you. Yeah. That's a child as well. And so it's about being able to balance those and come back to a healthy, rational adult decision.
Again, it's an elegant way to shift. It's an elegant way to not only bring what is mostly unconscious into our conscious mind, which gives us the freedom to be able to change it. Because if I'm living out of my unconscious world, I ain't free.
No.
I mean, we say we want to be free, but if we're doing things just on automatic, we ain't free.
No, right? You're living by the book.
We're living by somebody else's book, not mine.
Right.
But if I'm able to shift that and then get into my adult state and make rational decisions, okay, that's something different. We're learning about okayness. I'm okay, you okay. Which one of us is okay? Or both of us? Learning about that today here on Strategies for Living. We've got more to come. We'll be right back. Dealing with stress, pain, feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us. And welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies. Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. You know, strategies, we do healthy. We do peace. We're questing for a better life for all of us. And that's why we do Strategies for Living. And thank you for joining us. You're not old enough to remember.
I know the song.
Yeah. Joe South. Oh, the games people play now. Every night and every day now.
Yeah.
Never meaning what to say now. Never saying what to mean.
That's right. I know the song.
Yeah, you know the song. Because you like the oldies.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like the oldies. Hopefully you got an oldie but a goodie. I don't know about that. We'll see. We're talking about transactional analysis today. We've been talking about I'm okay, you're okay. It's a classic. Mm-hmm. And it's such an elegant little book. There's another important book in transactional analysis written by Eric Byrne.
Yeah, and he's the developer.
Yeah. And he wrote this book. It's called The Games People Play. I have no idea whether Joe South used that to write that song, The Games People Play, but I would imagine he did.
Yeah, I would think so.
In psychology, The Games People Play, it's a small book. It's a fun little book.
It is. I really enjoyed reading it.
But it's a landmark book in psychology, and it introduces transactional analysis, and it really explores the games, the behaviors that people use in social interactions. Mm-hmm. And Eric Byrne calls them games. And the games are recurring, predictable maneuvers that people engage in to fulfill some undercover or hidden, if you will, emotional needs.
Right.
And Byrne explains that human behavior operates from the parent, the adult, and the child. And, and very similar to what we were talking about earlier in Thomas Harris's I'm Okay, You're Okay. And so our parent would be our values, our rules, our authority figures, the messages we get from there. Our child represents the emotional and spontaneous and playful behaviors. And our adults represent the rational, objective, problem-solving type behavior. So the central idea is that people unconsciously engage in psychological games during these interactions that we have with each other.
Yes.
And these games often have hidden agendas and dysfunctional outcomes that create emotional payoffs for people involved.
Now, the interesting part about this is, this plays out on an unconscious level. The way it sounds like we're consciously manipulating people in these psychological games, but we're really, most who engage in them are not aware.
If we're aware of it, if we're conscious of it, then it's not a game. It's purposeful, right?
Right, and that becomes something totally different.
Yeah. But the idea of a game, that gives us the idea, and we identify that by the patterns. We're looking at the patterns in our relationship. Let's talk about some of the games that he identified.
Okay. Because I think people will relate to
these. Yeah. So one of them is, let's go to an illustration of really the first game that he lays out in The Games People Play, which is called IWFY, If It Weren't For You.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you say it that way, IFY. So let's give a quick, we'll give, this is from Eric Byrne, right?
Okay, yep.
So this is about Mrs. White. Mrs. White complained that her husband severely restricted her socially so that she had never learned to dance.
Mm.
And then due to changes in her attitude brought about by psychological and psychiatric treatment, her husband became less sure of himself and more indulgent, and Mrs. White was then free to go out and enlarge her scope of activities, and she signed up for dancing classes, and then she discovered, to her despair, that she had this fear, this morbid fear of dance floors.
Okay.
And so she had to give up her project. So this unfortunate adventure, along with similar ones, laid out some important aspects of her marriage. out of her many suitors, she had picked a domineering man for a husband, and she was then in a position to complain that she could do all sorts of things if it weren't for you, right?
Right.
And many of her friends also had domineering husbands, and so they would get together and they would complain over coffee. You know, if it weren't for him,
playing the game.
Yeah, playing the game. As it turned out, however, contrary to her complaints, her husband was, of course, performing a very real service for her by, quote unquote, forbidding her to do something that she was deeply afraid of. And so it prevented her, in fact, from even becoming aware of her fears. And that was one reason that she had chosen a husband like that. Do you see how all of that played out unconsciously?
Yes.
Yeah. So his prohibitions and her complaints frequently led to quarrels, and their sex life was impaired because they quarreled so much. And she and her husband had little in common besides their household worries and the children, so that their quarrels stood out as important events. And so, you know, Dr. Burton names some other games in the games people play, but that's the one that illustrates. One of my favorites is Now I Got You, Niggy, USOB.
Niggy Sob.
Yeah. This is a person waits for others to make mistakes so that they can then be angry and criticize. Right. And so it gives the excuse, right, to get in and come out of my adult, right? Not my adult, but my parent. Then there's the game, Why Don't You? Yes, But. And this is a person pretending to seek advice, but as soon as the advice is given, rejects the suggestion so they can hold on to their problem. You know, why don't you? Yes, but. And then there's, see what you made me do?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
This is the blame game. This is the blaming game. Now, those are just a handful. There's a ton more games that are identified. And, you know, most of us at one time or another
play one or many
of these games. And the more games that you get on board, the more chaotic life is.
Right.
For ourselves, it feels chaotic inside of me. It also is going to feel chaotic inside of anybody that I'm interacting with.
Right.
Whether that's at home or my children or my relationships at work.
Because we have to remember all of these games stem from unmet emotional needs.
Absolutely.
Right. And so we're just trying to get what we need and we don't know how to go about that.
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to raise what's unconscious into our conscious mind. Conscious awareness is the key. It's the door we have to walk through.
So in other words, as soon as I know I'm playing the game, it's not so much as fun anymore.
It's not going to be fun anymore. And as a matter of fact, now it's not a game.
Right.
It's something else. It's I'm choosing to do this. A whole different thing entirely. I'm okay. You're okay. The games people play. If you have never read either one of those old books, I would recommend them. You can easily get them at a used bookstore or wherever you buy books. They're still available. We'll be back. More strategies to come. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
And I'm here wondering if I'm okay. Welcome back. Welcome back into 1017 FM,
totally
710 Keel. Is it up to me?
It is. You get to perceive it. You get to recognize.
Rethinking.
Think again.
Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 1017 FM, 710 Keel. You know, strategies, we talk every day. We talk about creating a life that hopefully makes us excited to wake up and start every day. That's the goal. That's what we're shooting for. Because if you're there, then you're coming from that position of I'm okay, you're okay, mm-hmm. and life's okay.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, life's good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
There you go.
Certainly.
So we've talked.
This is just scratching the surface.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't even begin to, explain to people how impactful this can be. You know, I read the little book when I was in undergrad in college.
And you don't have to be a psychology person.
No, I wasn't.
It's very understand. This is all very, very understandable. And it gives you a method to really look at yourself in a new way, look at your interactions in a new way. So the books that I would recommend would be, of course, I'm Okay, You're Okay, mm-hmm. by Thomas Harris. The Games People Play,
Eric Byrne.
By Eric Byrne. And if you want to get deeper, there's one more
book,
Born to Win. And I love the cover of Born to Win. It's by Muriel James and Dorothy Young Ward. It's got this little baby, little naked baby with arms out at the edge of the ocean.
Mm.
I love that. Any one of those books, or all three of those books, which you could probably pick up at the used bookstore, would give you a lot more info on what we've started to talk about today. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Folks, thank you. We appreciate you being a part of Strategies for Living. And to show you how okay I am, well, I'm gonna thank our sponsors.
There you go.
The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. We'll see you next time, right here, on Strategies for Living.